Last year, there were over 24,000 heart, lung, and kidney transplants performed in the United States. Despite the success of organ transplants, the downside of any transplant is the body's fight to reject the organ. Immunosuppressive drugs need to be taken for a lifetime, and they can cause other complications, such as tumors. But now scientists are saying that new studies show that organ transplant patients might not have to undergo a lifetime of drug regimens. Alan Kirk is section chief for transplant surgery at the National Institutes of Health. He's at a meeting this week of the International Congress of the Transplantation Society, where several papers have been introduced. Dr. Kirk, what these studies that are being introduced seem to have in common is that the patient is treated before the transplant operation. Doesn't that happen already?
Not necessarily. What we have gradually come to recognize is that the trauma that introduces a new organ into somebody's body has a lot to do with how interested the immune system is in trying to reject it. And making a specific effort to attenuate the immune response prior to the traumatic episode seems to have a salutary effect in preventing rejection later on. It's sneaking the organ in under the radar screen of the immune system.
Now, if the current thinking is to give patients as much immunosuppressive drugs as possible right after a transplant, how does that discourage tolerance of the new organ?
Well, tolerance, just like rejection, is an immune response. And we're gradually learning that many of the drugs that prevent rejection also prevent tolerance. One of the things that many labs are now showing is that some drugs seem to be permissive for tolerance and others seem to prevent it. And if you're using a drug that prevents tolerance, when you stop taking it, rejection likely ensues. I think the gratifying papers that are being presented this week show from several different laboratories that by carefully selecting the type of immune manipulation you do at the time of transplant, greatly reduces the need for immunosuppression in the future.
How many people are we talking about in these studies who have been able to wean themselves from autoimmune suppression drugs?
Nobody for any length of time has been able to wean themselves from immunosuppression in the trials presented in this meeting. Those patients that have come off immunosuppression completely have done so serendipitously and have come to individuals' attention, but we really can't tell when somebody is ready to be taken off of immunosuppression. There's no test for tolerance. There's only a test for rejection.
What then do you think the next step will be for people who are either contemplating this procedure or who have already had a transplant? What can they expect to take away from this week's news?
Well, I think what they can take away from this week's news is that there are a large number of immunosuppressive agents that can be used in combination to optimize one's side effect profile and risk of rejection postoperatively. There is no single drug or regimen that will work for everyone, but there are now so many new approaches that an intelligent transplant program can likely transplant most patients with much less immunosuppression than was contemplated 10 years ago.
Thank you very much, Dr. Kirk.
Thank you.
Alan Kirk is the section chief for transplant surgery at the National Institutes of Health. He spoke to us from the International Congress of the Transplantation Society, which is meeting in Miami.